It is good to be here this morning. I am excited to be back up here and to be able to bring you a message. It's been way too long, and I thank you for your patience and everything that the congregation's done on my behalf. I would like to say that I am thankful for all the cards and the letters and the calls. I'm thankful for everything, for all of you. And I will not forget the things that you have done that helped me not only spiritually, but in many ways physically. People who have filled in for me and done work that I was set to do. And I do thank you all so much for that. You know, we're picking up now again in the lessons of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4 now. If you remember, the first three chapters were all about who we are in Christ, what our true identity is. And these things are very critical. They're critically important to our lives as Christians. We need to understand that Paul wants us to be living our lives according to the Scriptures, according to what is right in the sight of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love." We must live our lives worthy to our calling. And the calling, of course, is what Jesus Christ died for. It is what we are commanded to do, and it is the idea of being faithful children of God and being in heaven one day in that afterlife. And we must be unified in Christ, established in the faith, having proper attitudes, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 that we just read, endeavoring, as the Christian standard version of the Bible puts it, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We have a job to do. We need to be unified in one spirit with God. And we need to do that, and it's a job. It isn't something that just happens. And so we need that one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Those are the seven musts, or the seven truths that we read there. In verse 11 through 16, Christ is our conquering King. And therefore, because He is that, He gives us gifts. And those gifts were the people, the gifts, as He puts that, they were the prophets and the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and pastors and teachers, to edify the church, to edify and equip the church for the work of the ministry. And so now today in verse 17, we move forward with this lesson where Paul goes on to teach us that we have a problem as men and women in the world. Our problem is that our minds are broken, and we need to be able to have a way to fix that broken mind. That means, literally, that we need to stop being who we are, and I hope that'll make more sense as we move on. This is what we need to become as Christians, as we read in those first three chapters, who we are in Christ. God wants us, and the Apostle Paul's making that pretty clear here, we need to stop being you. We need to stop being ourselves. Notice in verse 17 where the Apostle Paul says, "I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds." And I want you to think about the gravity, the power behind this. And I think too often we'll read that verse and, oh yeah, I realize we must not walk like, well, there's some pretty serious things going on in that statement. That command is very powerful, and it affects every single Christian. Every Christian. Think about what Paul is commanding here to these Gentile Christians in a Gentile world. He says, "You Gentiles, stop living like Gentiles." And listen, it's easier said than done. It's like saying, "Dog, stop acting like a dog." You know, it's that difficult. And these Gentiles, you know, you stop living like Gentiles. Paul, in a sense, in the bottom line of this is saying, you humans, stop living like humans. You need to rise above who you were to become who you should be. Stop being like everybody else in the world. Stop being the imitators of your neighbors and co-workers and your friends, even your family in many cases. Stop imitating society. That's what he's telling us. We need to be separated from those things. If we understand the real implication, Paul is saying that you have to stop being you. And listen, this is contrary to every teaching in the world. Every teaching. From the youth on up, people are being groomed to believe in the power of self. Right? We're to have the power of self. As for finding that out, this doctor, Erica Martinez, a psychologist doctorate, says of self, I see it as cultivating a deep understanding of yourself. What's important to you? What motivates you? Why you respond and react as you do, and your values. Finding yourself also means feeling at peace with the person you become. Listen, you know, if we're to take the scripture and analyze this, what we really should be reading is, I see up here, I see it as cultivating a deep understanding of God. What's important to God? And what motivates you because of your love for God? Why you respond and react as you do because of that love? And His values, His will, His statutes. Finding yourself means finding God. Feeling at peace with the person you've become in Christ. That's not how the world wants it to be. They want young people to grow up being, you are you. Be good about who you are. Whatever you think you are, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Be yourself. And in context, Paul, through the Spirit of God, will he teach us, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about God. And as we, you know, you think that through, and we need to be fully pleasing to God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and at verse 1, we need to be walking to please God. That's what our job is. That's what we are made and created in Christ to do. And finding our peace? No, we find the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. That peace that guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And it's not the peace within ourselves, it's the peace of God who is the God of peace. Philippians 4 and verse 9. And so shouldn't we listen to our hearts? That's the question the world always asks. Oh, listen to your heart. Go with your conscience. Do what you feel is right. But not if you believe Jesus. You know, it was Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 that said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, blasphemies. Not if you believe Jesus. And not if you believe God Himself, who said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17 and verse 19 or 9. Not if you believe God, not if you believe Christ. You remember in Genesis what God was saying in the days of Noah, that the hearts of men was evil continually. The imagination of the thoughts of men was evil continually. You know, and Jesus went on to say that as in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man, Luke 17 and 26. It's not changed. Nothing's changed. The minds, the natural state of the mind of man is sinful. It's broken. It needs repair. And Paul gives us explanations for this at the end of verse 17 and on into verse 18. You know, listen to what he said again. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Your natural mind is broken. It is. When we, without God, without the Spirit of God, without Christ in us, our natural way of life is broken. We can never reach the goal of heaven. We can never truly be filled with joy and with the joy that comes only from the Lord. We can't have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Darkened, blinded, alienated. The world says what you think is right. Paul, through the Spirit, says no. What you think is wrong. And it needs fixing. The natural mind cannot work in accord with, in harmony with, the Word of God. And so let's think about those words, futility, darkness, alienated, blind. What about the futility of the mind? Thayer's defines that word, futility, as what is devoid of truth, as in false teachers. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, that these false teachers, they speak great swelling words of emptiness. That's what we deal with. You know, in this particular context, it's used as being perverse. That is contrary to the accepted standard of God's Word. When our minds are in this mode, when our minds are thinking as the way the world wants us to think, simply put, we're devoid of truth. We're perverse in our thinking. We're blind. We're living futile lives. And many are living broken minds. And the result of broken mind is a lack of spiritual perception, a lack of understanding of truth. And it's true today. We can look around anywhere and see that. There are many false teachers in the world today. Great minds. Honestly, I'm not suggesting that you listen to these television evangelists and these mega church teachers because they're wrong. It's easy to get caught up in it, but boy, I'll tell you, some of these speakers are powerful speakers. They're speaking great swelling words that are empty, but they're very powerful at doing it. One great example of swelling words of emptiness as we think about this is Billy Graham. And this is what he wrote. I think you've seen this before. Billy Graham in an interview said, well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's a body of Christ which comes from all the Christian groups around the world. We're outside the Christian groups. I think that everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they are conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. What God is doing today is calling people out of the world for His name. Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved, and they're going to be with us in heaven. Great swelling words of emptiness. And, that's all I could say about that statement. You know, didn't I read somewhere that there is salvation in no one else? There is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. I think I read that somewhere, like maybe Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Great swelling words, but they're empty. And people listen to these leaders. You've all likely heard of the phrase, an exercise in futility. Well, that's what that is. It would be futile for a non-swimmer to jump in the water to save a swimmer. That's an exercise in futility. That makes no sense at all. It would be an exercise in futility for somebody to get a notion to steal an airplane, but they don't know how to fly. Exercise in futility. And you can go to the scriptures and see that all over the place. You go to Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 22, and you read about Abraham, who argued with God to save Sodom. And you know, God, if there were 50 righteous, would you not destroy the city? What about 45? What about 40, 30, 20, 10? Exercise in futility, because if you just turn your page to chapter 19, Sodom was destroyed. That's just a waste of time to argue with God. And you think of Sennacherib in 2 Kings in chapter 19 when you know he's destroyed great nation after great nation after great nation. He gets to this little nation here in Jerusalem and he's going to threaten the nation of God. Exercise in futility. And you can read about the 185,000 that one angel of God killed, his armies, his soldiers, all dead. Exercise in futility. And it's just as futile to believe that anyone who does not know the oracles of God, does not know the scripture, can lead you to salvation. When you talk to people and they tell you, all you have to do is believe in Jesus, nothing else, you should, well, show me where it says that in the scriptures, they can't do it. Why would you listen to that person? You say to somebody says to you just say this sinner's prayer, you'll be saved. Show me where it says that, and they can't show you. Why would you listen to that person? Why would you listen to somebody who says you are saved by faith alone and nothing else, and they can't show you where it says that? That's an exercise in futility. Why would you listen to that person? Because they can't help you to be saved. Secondly, Paul mentions the natural man here in verse 18, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. What is the outcome of a broken mind? You know, this is what Paul's going to tell us. Your natural mind is broken, it's corrupt, it's walking and thinking in futility and darkness. And it has to be renewed. It has to be fixed. It has to turn up to the standard of God. Left to our own thinking, left to our own way, left to our own natural mind, our own regular natural worldly way of thinking, we are in the dark, ignorant of the ways of God. And until we move our minds, you know, our hearts, that Bible mind, until we move that to the standard of God's Word, we'll be walking in futility, walking in darkness, alienated from the life of God, blinded to what is right and to what is good. Now listen, throughout this lesson, I want you to, for the rest of the lesson, I want you to keep this verse from Isaiah, these two verses from Isaiah. We all should know this. And if you don't, right there it is. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Listen, God's thoughts, His ways, are so much higher than ours, the natural man just can't compete with that. And unless we conform our minds to His thoughts, unless we conform our life and our ways to His ways, through the Word of God, our thinking is going to be false, futile, dark, and ignorant because of the blindness. And so that, you know, that brings us to the outcome of the broken mind. What does the scriptures have to say? Without knowledge, our God, without the knowledge of our God, our minds are warped, they're broken. If you do what your mind says, how your heart, your conscience, whatever you want to call it, leads you, without the counsel of God, you'll be misled by that mind and counsel that heart every time. In Jeremiah 10 and 23, you know, we read how important this is. O Lord, I know the way of man is not where? Oh, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And Paul tells us, this is so critically important, that the world, their ways is foolishness to God, and that their thoughts are of the wise are just futile. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness foolishness to the natural man. He can't know them because he's spiritually discerned, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 14. We need the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. Sin is a result of a broken mind. That's what it is. It's a result of a broken mind, and we need to seek only the only powerful thing that's powerful enough to take what's bent and fix it. And that is the Word of God. You know, I don't know, most of you drive, if you've ever had a car where the car constantly pulled to the left or to the right, it's usually because your tires are worn out or because you have a bad idler arm. Something's wrong somewhere. And that'll never change unless you fix it. You'll always be pulled off the right path. Your tires will always wear out the way they should not. They'll never last because you don't fix that tie rod. You don't fix what's wrong. Paul wants us to be separate from the world. The mind of this world is filled with ignorance. Verse 18 tells us that. You know, in John 17 and 3, Paul wants us to be separate from this world so that we can have the life that Christ called us to have. In John 17 and 3, Jesus prays to the Father, and he tells the apostles and us that eternal life is to know God. And if we don't do that, we'll be separated from God. People in the world, they claim knowledge. But when you compare what they say, even the great swelling words, if you compare that to the Scripture, ignorance comes out and it's empty of truth, void of truth. So what are the outcomes of the broken mind? First, if we keep our minds in the dark, we follow the ways of the world. You right? In verse 19, he who become past feeling. Who, past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk with uncleanliness, with greediness. And you think, past feeling, how important that is. The New King James has past feeling. The Christian Standard Bible, it has have become callous. Right? And you think about what that means, past feeling, callous. They're really kind of the same things. When I was younger and I was doing a lot of hard labor and, you know, I was in the martial arts and everything, and I had these calluses on my palm, and I could actually, and I know this is really gross and stupid, and I wouldn't do it today, but I used to have fun sticking big needles and things in my calluses. And I'd show my kids and other, you know, look, it doesn't hurt at all. When you have a callus, and you know what I mean, there's no pain in there. But when your calloused heart, when we have a calloused heart, or we our heart becomes calloused, it becomes past feeling. Unable, there's no sensitivity. We can see this in people, unfortunately. I see it in people who claim to be followers of Jesus. Unfortunately, I see that in members of the body of Christ. And that is the most frightening thing to me ever, to see people of God who have become callous, unfeeling, where they don't have any, they're uncaring, insensitive to spiritual truth. You know, as you go out into the world again, you think of the religious leaders and how, why do they get so upset over the very discussion of baptism? When you read the every verse, you know, let's read about baptism. Okay, we start here and we read every verse about baptism, and that just infuriates people. Why? Because their minds are broken. Why do they foam at the mouth when you teach that in order to be saved, there's more than one thing that you got to do? John 6:45 says we have to hear and be taught. Jesus said that. John 8:24, we have to believe in Him. Jesus said that. Luke 13:3, we have to repent of our sins or perish. Jesus said that. Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Jesus said that. Of course, in verse 33, He said, if you don't confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father. Jesus said that. Jesus said we must live faithful until death, Revelation 2:10. Jesus said all those things. Why do people get so infuriated? Why do they foam at the mouth when you quote the Scriptures? Because their minds are darkened, their past feeling. That's why. Past feeling. They become callous. Listen. We just need to let God be true and every man a liar. That's what we need to do. And Paul goes on to tell us the importance of that, that you may be justified in your words. Baptism, an outward sign, baptism is an outward sign of an inward experience, so they say. They're not justified in their words. When we say he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, we're justified in our words. And you may overcome when you are judged. Boy, it is important to let God be true and every man a liar. Why do religious leaders fight against the idea that this is the authority of God? This is the book that guides and directs every Christian, every church. This is the book that tells us what we can and cannot do. This is the book that tells us what we should practice, how we practice, everything in the body of Christ. Because they are followers of the world. They are callous. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 30:13. Let God be true. Again, and every man a liar. Our minds are broken without that. In 1 John chapter 5 and at verse 2. The only fix is to love God and keep His commandments. Again, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. They've given themselves over to lewdness. You know, this is a description of our world today. It truly is. We realize that all sin is a result of the corrupt mind. All sin is a result of a corrupt... Listen, in the Garden of Eden, in chapter 3, what happened? Eve, Adam, they knew, don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, because in the day you eat of it, surely dying you shall die. What happened? This serpent comes along and beguiles Eve, and this serpent tells Eve, you eat of it, you're not going to die. You're just going to become like God. You're going to know good and evil. Her mind was corrupted. And she ate of the fruit. She gave the fruit to her husband. And look what happened. Every mind after that point in time, and except through Christ, has been corrupted now. Every mind. The New Living Translation puts that as lustful pleasures. And that's what the world is really all about. And Paul wants us to see this for every good reason, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We need to see what Paul's telling us. He's telling us this for very good reason. Because if you're participating in such things, you're walking in the futility of your mind. No matter how much you proclaim Jesus as your Lord and King, if you're walking and participating in sinful things, you're walking in the futility of your mind. You're in the darkness, in ignorance. All sin is a result of the malfunction of the mind, a broken mind. Following the way of the world leads to every kind of impurity. And that only increases with practice. James, in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, if you look in your Bibles, what did he say? James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It's just compounding. That's the nature of sin. One sin begets another sin, and it just continues and continues and continues until you're spiritually dead. We read in Hebrews 5, dull of hearing. That's the nature of sin. And when we involve ourselves in the sinfulness of the world, after a time, we become callous. We become past feeling. We become insensitive to the good things of God. And we can actually sit down and watch something that is terrible, hear something that's horrible, view something that is sinful, and then it doesn't even affect us. We need to be like Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud. Stop it. Okay, everybody take a breath. I know I've been talking fast, and I know I've been talking hard, and I know that it's been all about your broken minds, my broken mind, but I need you to take a rest here. Just pause with me and just think about all these things. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than my thoughts. And Paul wants us to see that. Let's look at verse 20. Good news. You can stop being you. In the spiritual sense, you can stop being you. I've said it before, and I was not a pleasant person prior to Christ. And I could stop being that person. I can stop being me and start being an imitator of Christ. That's good news. Paul says, but you have not so learned in Christ. That is really, really good news. Because of Jesus, we have a standard of life, a standard for living. We have a way of peace. We have the love of God. We have hope of eternal life. We have this standard of righteousness that we can compare the way we walk and see whether we're walking in the light or not. If our lives do not differ from the Word of God, then we're in good shape. And we have so learned Christ. If our lives differ from the Word of God, from what God has called us to be, what God has called us to do, then we're not truly have learned Christ. The call of Christ is to leave the world, to die to self, and to live for God. And that's good news. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. Why? Why did He die for sins that we might live for righteousness? We can do that. Through Christ, through God, through the light of the Word, we can fix that broken mind. Look at verse 21. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. You heard Jesus? You've heard gospel preaching. You've heard the Bible teaching. You've read your Bible yourself. You've come to faith by hearing and by the Word of God. That's a wonderful thing because that faith, that Word guides and directs you. It's the lamp under your feet and the light under your path. It's that thing that Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Because of the Word of God is better. Life can be better. We can live apart from sin. We can have the thought of God in our minds, in our hearts. It can be written on our hearts. We can be loyal to Christ without compromise. Christ can teach us. And if Christ has taught you, then you know what is sinful. You know the result of practicing sin. So learning Christ shapes us. It remolds us. It remakes us. You know, Paul in Romans chapter 6, after our baptism, we cannot come out. You're a new creation in Christ. For the old man of sin is gone, is dead. That's good news for those who have obeyed the gospel. You know, it's for certain that anyone who involves themselves, brothers and sisters, anyone who involves themselves in lewdness, uncleanness, anyone who contends with the Word of God, that these behaviors are somehow acceptable. That movie's acceptable if they would just take this out or that out. Anybody who contends that partial nudity in magazines and movies is okay. Anyone who contends that the sensuality that's in almost every movie today is okay is contending with God. And we don't need to do that. That's when you're greedy, verse 19. That's when we don't know Christ. But praise be to God that the Lord Jesus Christ, that who we were, we don't have to be. He didn't leave us to fend for himself. Paul, at verse 22 and on, he begins to tell us how God can shape our lives. Look at this, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You put it off. The more we learn Jesus, the more we put off the old man. The more we apply the Word of God, the principles, the oracles of God to our life, that old man dies more and more every day. Paul said that we're being renewed daily. Right? We have to stop living the way we used to live. Put off that old man. Stop walking as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And the reason should be very clear. You know, we read that verse 17 through 20. It's all there. The futility of the mind, the understanding darkened, alienated from God, ignorance because of the blindness of the heart, past feeling, lewdness, all those things. Put it off. You put off the old self in order to become the new self. Listen to me. Very important. Listen. That means that there has to be a former me. There has to be a former you. Right? That's what it means. There has to be something in the past that was different that has changed. That means that there's something you can point to in your old self and say, that's not me anymore. And listen, that's not just for the really bad guy that walks through the door and the building starts to fall down. That's everybody. Whether you lived your life with the greatest of intentions and the great hope, with great love and care and concern for other people, you still, there are things about you that have to change. That's the core of being a Christian. You're not going to be doing those things anymore. You're not going to be the old self. You're going to put off that old self and be renewed. Two, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind was broken. You were walking in the way of the world. Now, no more futility, no more darkness, no more alienation from God, no more ignorance, no more blindness, no more past, none of that. You remember the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 37, when they asked, after the Peter preached Jesus, and they asked the men and brethren, what shall we do? That's what we need to ask every day. God, what shall I do today? There has to be a change. No renewal of the mind equals no change. No change means no new self. No new self means damnation. And listen, this applies to the saved and the unsaved. If you're unsaved, you need to make a change. You need to accept Jesus Christ. You need to obey the gospel. You need to be baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away, and live your life for Christ. That's what will save your soul. That's what puts you on the road to being changed. And if you're a Christian and you've obeyed the gospel and you're still walking in the way of the world, what was created in you is not Christ. It's a hypocrite, a liar. You need to change. What is it created in an individual who looks to God, who serves God in every way, but still walks in with a broken mind, a broken, hardened heart? That's not a good thing. Our minds require renewal, hearing and obeying God. Frankly, I know many people like this, and consider what I have said and what I'm about to say in the scripture. I know that it might be hard, but our minds can only be fixed by renewing of the mind through the Word of God. That means stop looking at the world. It means less television. It means less time spent in listening to most of this modern music, especially music videos. There's a lot of, they call it decent, but it's indecent. The way people dress, the way their bodies move, the kind of dance they do. And I know that might be hard, but it is true. Less time spent in books written by men and women and more time spent in your Bible. Avoid almost every movie, PG and up. You know what PG stands for? Parental guidance. If you have to guide your children in a PG movie, what do you think God would tell you, your Father in heaven? What does that mean? Parental guidance. God would say, don't watch it. If I have to warn you about something that will be in this movie and explain the sensuality, explain the confusion or the sin, God would just simply say, don't watch it. Renewal of the mind can't happen as long as we continue to expose our minds to worldly things. It just can't. So identify sinful things according to God. Let the love of God make you sick at everything that is sinful in this so-called entertainment world. And I can tell you firsthand, by eliminating those kinds of movies, you're going to be eliminating 95% of everything that's on the television. And I know it's hard. Just don't allow yourself to be entertained by wickedness. The bombarding of our minds and the minds of our young children. Because we can't have a renewed mind if we're half in the world and half out of the world. Half in the world and half in the Bible. I think Jesus said something about that too. Because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. Finally, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Being transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Paul said in Romans 12:2. Remember, even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. We need to take our broken, corrupt minds in exchange for the will of God, in exchange for godliness, putting God first. Remember the psalmist? He says it all. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree planted along the rivers of water. His leaves don't wither. That's what we need to be. No matter where you are right now, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you have obeyed the gospel or not obeyed the gospel, you do this every day and your new self will begin to shine. It'll begin to take shape. When you seek God first, your life changes. Your world becomes less and less important. Your goal becomes eternal. You know, you're no longer self-willed, but you live by the will of God according to God. You become like Him in the Spirit. You'll be able to echo the words of Paul, who said, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer, the life that I live, I no longer live for myself, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. That's the good news. That's the transformation. Listen, our mind's broken. Have all kinds of questions. We're here to answer questions. But you know what? If you obey God, wonderful, powerful things happen. When you obey God, the mind becomes whole. It becomes the way God wanted it to be. When you obey God, that's when you can take up your cross. That's when you can trust God, have faith in God, trust in Jesus. Your hope is in eternal life. It's when you can love the way God asks us or calls us to love. It's when we can care about one another in a very genuine way. It's when we obey the gospel. When we hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of our sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins. That, my friends, is the gospel in a nutshell. Is there any need that you have today? Is your mind wandering about what is right, what is wrong? Are you able now to think about the great and wonderful things of God? We have a song of invitation, song number 810. If you open your songbook to that song, we'll be ready to sing here in a moment. Almost persuaded. You know, if you're almost persuaded, then you still have a broken road. And it's so easy to fix that mind. We just put that up on the screen. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. Put on that new man, that man created after the image of God. And your life will begin a new road. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen short of that, you also can repent of sin. Come back to Christ. If you have a meeting today, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.